Everybody. It is certainly a busy time of the year, and you can tell by the voices that are talking that it's a great time for conversation. So we are so happy that you are here, whether you have been here a short time, a long time, or anywhere in between. We welcome you to Gates Presbyterian Church, and we are thankful that you found your way to this worshiping community this morning. There is, as always, a wealth of information in your bulletin and the recently provided Harbinger, and there's always an information rack out there for any additional thoughts. There's a calendar in the bulletin, so if you need to know what's going on, if you don't see it in print, just ask somebody. I'm sure there's somebody around you that'll know what's going on to help you out. During our time of offering this morning, as we pass the hospitality register, the notepad, and the pews, please jot down your name, any comments you have, and take a look at the hospitality register when it goes back to see if there's somebody next to you who don't know their name. Introduce yourself at some point during the worship service or afterwards, because that's how we get to know each other. If you have any questions or comments after the worship service this morning, there's an elder at the communion table. You're more than welcome to share your thoughts after worship with the elder at the table. And this morning we do have several announcements, as is typical, especially this time of the year. So we'll start off with Jen.
Good morning. I'm Jennifer Olson, the Children and Youth Director here. We want to take care of you during this sniffly season. So if you find that you're coughing or need a tissue, even chapstick, there's a little cold care center in the back on that side. So feel free to go grab what you need, even tea bags to take home for later. So just a little something to help take care of you. Also, we now have our manger up front here, so for the young ones in the church, if you want to come check it out either before or after worship during Thoughts for Children, feel free to take a peek inside while we all wait for baby Jesus. Youth group, junior highs are caroling at Cottage Grove next week, so please plan on joining us. And if you really love to carol, you're welcome to join us too. You don't have to be a junior high. We're going to be at Cottage Grove, so if you don't know this already, music is one of the best ways to reach people with memory loss, so I think we're really going to brighten the evening of those there. Senior highs, there is no Where's Waldo next week, so if you were planning on going to the mall to be a Waldo for the senior highs, you do not need to do that. We're actually doing our Frosty and Fries event because that got canceled the week before, and you're welcome to come and dress up, wear whatever you want, and we're going to get some Frosties and Fries while we write Christmas cards for our shut-ins. So that's going to be a really meaningful and fun evening of fellowship. Finally, December 22nd is our impromptu pageant here at GPC. It's going to be a lot of fun, no rehearsal, so invite your friends, family, anyone who might be interested in joining in our special service that day. Thank you.
Good morning, Jenny Barley. I know all of you have seen these flyers in your bulletins or in the Harbinger. I wanted to let you know that today is the last day for ordering your poinsettias. If you are interested, and if you haven't ordered them yet and you're interested, please, you know, sneak out your form, fill it out, stick a check or some cash or whatever in your inside this, fold it up, and put it in the collection plate. Okay. Also, the mission team. The mission team is collecting money also for the Presbyterian Bahama Disaster Relief, and so that's also an opportunity for you to donate toward that if you're not going to get a poinsettia, or even if you are. So please just know that today is the last day for submitting these forms. Thank you.
Good morning. Just a reminder that the Jamaican fundraising board is up in the narthex, and please check it out and take an envelope to sponsor our group for specific events. And also, sign-up sheets are on the kiosk for if you want to perform or donate a baked good. And thank you all so much for your support.
Hi, Kathy Coons, Clerk of Session. Just a quick reminder that there's your congregation meeting immediately following worship today. It'll be a brief meeting, but it's a very important meeting, so please hang around. Thanks.
Those are all the folks that signed up for announcements. Is there anybody else that had anything to share this morning? Okay, well, Once again this morning, we are pleased and privileged to have the Reverend Dr. Rod Frohman with us preaching this morning. Rod will carry us this week and again next week as we continue through the Advent season. So if you haven't gotten to know Rod yet, please take a moment to do so, because he is one of those engaging type of people that you'll be glad you said hello when and that you have the opportunity to do so. Also, as just a quick reminder, if you haven't already, if you give silence or turn your cell phone to vibrate, we don't want to interrupt John and his wonderful music with a cell phone going off in the middle of worship. So, that being said, let us now pause, take a breath, clear our hearts, our minds, and prepare our souls as we worship our one great God together.
We light the candle of peace.
We look to John, the one you sent, to point us to your light.
The light will come into our world and enlighten everyone. Merciful God, we give thanks that you send messengers like John the Baptist to call us to greater faith. We ask that in these days we prepare for you in prayer and acts of holy compassion. Lead us to your light.
Please join me in the call to worship. Please stand as you are able. Give the king your justice, O God, and your righteousness to a king's child. May the mountains yield prosperity for the people, and the hills in righteousness.
Thank you.
Please join me now in the prayer of confession found in your bulletin. How are we to know and serve you, O Lord, amidst the cardiac land of our living, unless you infuse our lives? Set us free from our fast-paced living, from our preoccupation with everything, from the trivial to the urgent. Set us free from all flirtation with busyness. Return our minds, our hearts, and our energies to the essential things of life. Walk again with us. Enable us to be receptive to the wonders of being surprised by joy. Please join me now in the silent prayers of confession. God's love for us is ever sure, given in mercy. Grateful, thanks be to God.
Can I greet all the children and the parents? I'm not going very far with them, so relax. No, I'll be okay. Let's go. Come on, I need help. Come on.
Brum, brum, beep, 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 beep.
What's going brum, on? What's happening now?
Brum, brum, brum.
Good God.
Beep,
you've got to be
beep,
kidding.
Beep, beep, beep.
You've got to be
brum,
kidding.
Brum, brum, beep, 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 beep.
What's going on here?
Brum, 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 brum,
my
brum,
God,
brum.
Look at this beep, thing. Beep. What do you think's going on? My gosh. Can you find a seat?
Yeah.
Who's here?
Tammy.
Oh, yeah? What's it going to say?
You like my truck?
Yeah.
Good.
I want
one that needs to fix it. Well, I'm not sharing it with anybody.
Not even me?
Especially not you.
That's not a nice way to talk, is it? He's supposed to take care of old people. Don't all the rest of you get up, please. Hi, everybody. We're off to a crazy... Hi, you. How'd you get next to me? Good for you. Lucky day. Oh, you too? Okay. This is kind of new. I haven't done this in a long time. And they were debating whether I should or not. So we're up to
a start. I was debating that too, Frona.
And this comes along and makes it much more happy. My name, you can call me Gigi. If you have a question or anything going on, you already know. Just ask me, raise your hand, and we'll try to question your answer and answer your question. That sound pretty good? I'm a good start. Your brother didn't want to come up? No, he's beyond me. So let's try. I bet some of you have this book at home, do you? Ooh, all right. That's a big help. Okay, people, I'll hurry. Hi, neighbor. I am at the park. You're laughing at me already. I am playing cards with my friends. I want you to see these pictures. They're beautiful. Can you see them? Okay. I show them to my new car. He's so happy he has a new car, but he's not very good about sharing.
Right.
My car goes vroom, vroom, makes lots of noise, like that truck over there made a lot of noise. Honk, honk, Miss Elena has a truck. Everybody can see? Okay. Yes, you're right in front, huh? Whee! The owl has a police car. Wow, that's pretty fancy. But she's a policeman, so she needs something big like that. Let's see what happens. Can I play with your car? He doesn't have anything. Not anything small, big, or whatever. And he's really sad. I bet all of you would help him. But let's see what happens. Prince Wednesday is sad, what would you do? He really didn't want to share. You give him a good garbage truck? A real big one. Oh, okay. That would be wonderful. What would you do? Would you share? Yes, I bet all of you would. Absolutely. I don't know if this guy in the green shirt would, but anyway, my dad tells us how to share. We can take a turn and then give it back. So maybe he's thinking, maybe that'd be a good idea. Not everybody gives it back, though. Let's hope this one does. Do you think he will? Yeah, you think he will. Okay, I don't know about that one over there. I give Prince Wednesday my car. Now the Prince Wednesday is happy, happy, happy. He's playing around and running and having such a good time. A little bit like Gigi. My friends play with their cars. Look at, he's having such a good time. He's happy. It's not his to keep, but he doesn't care. He's just having a really good time. Ha, here's your car back, says Prince Wednesday. Thank you, I said. I had such a good time. Thank you for sharing with me. See, good kids here, right? Okay, let's see what else there is. We can race our car, said Miss Alina. I do not have a car, said Wednesday. What am I going to do? Everybody will be playing except me, and I don't have any place to go. He's feeling so sad. Oh, he looks sad. He looks sad, but he's going to be okay. So let's see what happens. You see up there? Watch that guy next to you in the truck. You can use my car, says Miss Eleni. You can take a turn, and then I will get it back. And look at how happy they are. He's going to have a turn like everybody else. What a happy, happy little young man. Will Miss Elena race with? Miss Elena uses a pretend car. Zoom! She flies around. And she has nothing in her hand. But she pretends. And that makes it okay. You can share and be all together. Absolutely. Ready, set, go. Hum, honk, woo, away we go. Having a good time, Mary? I'm crazy. Prince Wednesday gives the truck back. I heard that. And they're all getting happy. They had a good time. They shared. And everybody is feeling so much better. And that makes it a good day. You will share with Yuga Muga, won't you? How many of you would share with a friend if they needed help? Wonderful. That is awesome.
I'll share my truck with everybody now.
Oh, nice. Who's going to help Phil to get up off the ground? Are you ready, Eric? All right, let's bow our heads and maybe talk to God just for a minute. God is always listening. I can feel his presence right here, loving each and every one of us. So we'll just have a little quick prayer. God, I don't know what I'm going to say, and that's the scary part. The people that are here today come because they need you as much as the rest of us. Our love is here with the children. Their time together is so important. And God bless those teachers that take care of them. So we thank the moms and dads that are here today with their children. And I promise this will be it for the year for me, so you're safe. So God bless God, all of us, and we love you. Amen.
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 Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear. Their young will lie down together. And the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den. And the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. after Gigi's children's sermon, I probably ought to just stay seated. I want to introduce my wife, Marcia, who is here with me this morning. Marcia, where are you? There she is. She hasn't been here because she's been playing bells at other churches. So now you know the better half. See, I'm having a sliding problem here this morning. I have to make a little adjustment. I know this looks a little bit irreverent, but I'll put the Bible in the manger. All right, there we go. The second lesson today is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." Now John wore a clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the regions along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up the children of Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In her short story, Revelation, Flannery O'Connor introduces the main character, Ruby Turpin. And Ruby was mighty pleased with the pecking order of the universe. In her world, everyone had a place, and most people, she understood, had a place below hers. There were the colored folk and the white trash and the homeowners, and then the home and landowners like herself. In gratitude for this divinely inspired lineup, Ruby prayed often and ardently. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for making things the way they are. But for the grace of God, there would go I. Then one day, a revelation of sorts fell on Ruby rather suddenly and severely. It happened in a waiting room at a doctor's office, and the revelation was mediated by a surly Wellesley College undergraduate who, gazing at Mrs. Turpin, whispered in a loud, low voice so that everybody in the waiting room could hear, "Go back to hell where you came from, you old warthog." And the eyes of the accuser burned with pleasure for a moment as she saw that her message had struck its target. Well, we all have a kind of a love-hate reaction to the blunt Wellesley undergraduates of this world who call things the way they see them, you know, like Greta Thunberg before the United Nations back in September. And, of course, we would never say such a thing to the Ruby Turpins of our community, even though we would think it. And we chuckle at her misfortune. And yet we are repelled by such frankness. Now, this may explain why we welcome the rugged and blunt hero of the season of Advent, John the Baptist, with sort of mixed feelings. Our reaction might be, what's he doing in the story? Well, truth be told, he gets into the story because he's included in our lectionary reading for the second Sunday of Advent. Oh, really? That's it? Yeah, that's it. Since the Ecumenical Council of Vatican II back in the 1960s calling for worship reform, 16 Protestant worship specialists, including those in the Presbyterian Church USA, plus Roman Catholic specialists, have been holding regular meetings and have devised the Common Lectionary for common use among Protestants and Catholics. So tomorrow when you talk to your Catholic friends and you can say, was there reading in your church about John the Baptist yesterday? Well, it probably will be. So the Common Lectionary is organized around a cycle of four readings for each Sunday over a three-year period of time. So we have year A, year B, and year C. And we just started, or restarted actually, year A. So thus over a three-year period of time, a congregation following the lectionary will hear a significant portion of the entire Bible. So you can relax, though. In the following year, John the Baptist will not appear. But he is here with us this morning in the Gospel of Matthew, which is the Gospel for year A. Now, as you heard it read, John the Baptist had a strange message, an uncomfortable message, a kind of in-your-face message, a message that we don't like to hear too close to Christmas. Usually, you know, we like warm fuzzies, you know, like the person who sent St. Jude's Children's Hospital a winning McDonald's million-dollar game piece a couple of years ago. So what is the function of John the Baptist in the pre-Christmas story anyway? He appears so that we don't miss the life-changing presence of the one born in Bethlehem. Without John the Baptist, the babe in Bethlehem would be trivialized. Without John the Baptist, we would miss the challenge of Jesus' birth to the status quo. Without John the Baptist, we would be satisfied with the pecking order of the universe as divinely inspired. John preached a message of repentance. It wasn't just kind of a saccharine sort of thing, I'm sorry for my sins. It was a bold expose of what reality was really like. You brood of vipers, John called the religious establishment of his day. Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Give me some evidence that you mean to reform. Well, admittedly, it's hard to translate this call for repentance into modern terminology. It's stated so extremely, so strongly, so much like the Wellesley undergraduate's attack on Ruby Turpin. So what would repentance mean for us? 1 month ago, the mission team from the Third Presbyterian Church returned from their fifth trip to Kenya to renew a mission partnership with the Kihumo Presbyterian Church of Nairobi, a partnership that I started back in 2008. And part of this trip was to visit the informal squatters community of Kibera, K-I-B-E-R-A, Kibera. It's right near the Kenyatta Airport. If you've ever flown into Nairobi, you fly literally right over the Kibera squatters community. I've been to Kibera several times. 30 years ago, I started a partnership with the Presbyterian Church in the squatters community of Kibera while I served as a pastor in Minneapolis. Kibera is a tar paper and tin roof community of over 300,000 people jammed together like sardines in a can. Kibera can be smelled before it is seen. Common sights there include open sewer ditches in the center of the mud streets. Flying toilets, that's right, flying toilets are commonly used. Just like dog owners in the United States use plastic bags to go behind their dogs, there in Kibera, humans use plastic bags and then throw their excrement in the middle of the street. Needless to say, flies abound and cling to the faces of small children who don't seem to bother to swat them away. People who live there are very angry, very depressed, and very hungry, and the average annual income of an adult is about $2 a day in Kibera. Indeed, visiting Presbyterian churches in Kenya is both an exhilarating experience to witness their faith in difficult circumstances, as well as it challenges me to repent of my standard of living. So, what would happen if an American family repented of its living standards, which helped to maintain the standard of living of the Kibera's around the world? Robert L. Heilbronner, an economist, suggests the following is what would have to happen. First of all, he says, we would have to strip our houses of its furniture. Everything goes: beds, tables, chairs, TV sets. We would leave the family with a few old blankets, a kitchen table, a wooden chair, a box of matches, a bag of flour, some sugar, some salt. A few moldy potatoes already in the garbage can would be rescued. They would provide much of tonight's meal. And next, the bathroom is dismantled, running water shut off, electric wires pulled out. The family loses the house and moves into the tool shed. There are a few schools and the nearest clinic is 10 miles away. Deep down, we are all aware that our places in the global village have been achieved at the expense of others who live in the global village. The information is worse than embarrassing. The situation is sinful. And with the telling of this story, what we are all feeling right now is what it is like to be accosted by a modern John the Baptist. Indeed, some of you may be asking, Rod, why are you telling us these things a couple of weeks before Christmas? It's a fair question. But hold on to it for a second. Besides preaching repentance, John the Baptist also preached a gospel of action. Deeds, not words. John the Baptist, apparently like Harry Truman, was from Missouri. Show me, was his motto. And so he hit the religious leaders with the demand that they put their religion into practice. Bear fruit worthy of repentance, says John the Baptist. In other words, don't be smug and say, I don't need to worry about that, I'm a Christian. John continues, get ready, the one who is coming after me is going to clean house. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear the threshing floor. He will gather the wheat, but the stalks he will burn with unquenchable fire. Okay. Apparently, according to John the Baptist, Jesus is the one who is cleaning house on the basis of who is taking action and who is not. How one loves and serves, that is, our actions, take up a fair-sized chunk of Matthew's gospel. Now, those who have studied the gospel of Matthew will remember that the pages of Matthew are loaded with stories of the poor, the lepers, the prisoners, the disenfranchised, the weak, and the hungry. And Jesus invites those folk outside the power base of ancient Palestine into the kingdom of God, which he is inaugurating. As a matter of fact, they're called blessed, as in the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. We know about these blessed homeless folk who live in their own cars and shelters of our own community and in cities around the world. And John the Baptist seems to be telling us that if we don't get into action by serving the disenfranchised, that we're going to be burned like chaff in an unquenchable fire. That's pretty stark. John the Baptist is telling us that there is a cost to following after the one who is born in Bethlehem. There's a cost to being a Christian. And sometimes it really hurts because it means making hard decisions. It could mean, the cost of discipleship could mean risking one's job by speaking out about sexual harassment in the workplace. It could mean, while Christmas shopping this year, talking to the manager of the Gap or Target or the Eddie Bauer store and ask, "May I please see your code of conduct to protect workers in the garment industry?" To which most store managers would say, "What?" Perhaps the best modern statement of the cost of Christian discipleship was made by Martin Luther King Jr. in 1966 in Selma. It's contained in this framed statement, which I have in my office, in my house here in Rochester, and it in part reads, "If a person happens to be 36 years old, as I happen to be, and some great truth stands before the door of that person's life, some great opportunity to stand up for what is right and just, and that person refuses to stand up because he wants to live a little longer, and he's afraid that his home will get bombed, or he is afraid that he will lose his job, or he is afraid that he will get shot, that person may go on living until he is 80, and the cessation of breathing in his life will merely be the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit." Well, now we are probably all beginning to squirm, preacher included. And like it or not, it's beginning to dawn on us that as tough as it sounds, John the Baptist is telling us the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he is not trivializing the message. There is tremendous hope stirred in each of us each Advent season about the Jesus who is to come and to start all over with us. And yet we trivialize that hope because, like Ruby Turpin, we see the Christmas story as an extension of our current reality rather than a challenge to it. If Christmas hope means getting a little bit more of what we already have, then we trivialize it. The searing words of John the Baptist shock us out of our complacency, out of our status quo, and force us to consider the true meaning of Christmas, that is, our being agents of hope in the world. Simply put, being agents of hope in the world is not concerned with getting more stuff, but giving more of our stuff away. And our stuff includes our standard of living, and it also includes our time, our abilities, our level of education, and other gifts that we possess. Now, it may not be a very pleasant realization that Christmas is not about getting, but about giving. It may not be pleasant, but it certainly is not trivial. This time of year, there are many, many people around us who are afraid to hope. They're afraid to hope because of what has happened to them. A group of kids with cancer and their brothers and sisters were asked by a social worker to imagine that hope was a little animal. And they were asked to describe that animal. And so here's what some of what the kids said. Hope is about 2.5 feet tall. He is covered with fur and fluffy. No, she's prickly. You can't grab onto her too tightly. When hope talks, you are the only one who can hear her. Hope raises its voice sometimes. It has to talk louder than fear. Sometimes you can coax hope to come to you, but most of the time you have to be patient and just wait. Hope has children like any other animal. They're called hopelets. You don't keep them. You give them away. You share them with other people who need hope.
Seated. This is the time of the joys and concerns of the congregation, and I want to read a couple of things here. We have joys and concerns from our K through fourth grade class. They went to Santa. They got the Christmas tree and lights. They had a sleepover. They sent a letter to Santa. Went to a birthday party. They donated toys and books. And prayers also from another class, going to a dance competition, going to see My Fair Lady, going to a dance competition, another dance competition, they came in second. They had a birthday yesterday and received a wireless mouse. No, not a toy, you know. Okay. Their dog is afraid that the train goes around the Christmas tree. A girl wants to rest well because she's going to go to Frozen, and she is performing in the spring Christmas concert. And another child has a concern tomorrow about going to high school, about going to junior high school. Another child that broke a record solving the Rubik's Cube. I'm trying to read handwriting. They got their place in the Irish dance and is going to advanced classes and doing well. So these are the concerns, joys of our children, and how about other joys and concerns that you may have?
I will take care of it.
I'll get the other one.
Good morning. Keisha Binko. Just like to ask for prayers for the entire Rochester City School District. What a mess. It's so many teachers and paraprofessionals and other staff were involved with cuts and layoffs and displacements. And it's not just those people that are affected. It affects every single person, child, adult, everybody. So prayers for this mess as it unfolds in front of us in the next couple of weeks. Just keep those that are affected with their jobs in special prayer. Thank you.
Van White is my neighbor, president of the school board, so I know he's having with apoplexy at this point.
Hi, Dan Charcola. Prayers for Susan's family and my family, as well as Susan's father passed on Thursday evening with all the family there. And also my first cousin, who lives less than a quarter of a mile from there, passed this morning after a battle with cancer.
Asking for continued prayers for my daughter, Rachel. She's still receiving some medical help and not really healthy yet, although she's gotten better every day. She's still not home and able to be here, so prayers are appreciated.
I'd like to ask for prayers for Peter Derry and Irene. Peter's sister, Rita, passed away on Thursday morning in England.
Let us pray. This morning, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, will the congregation please respond, hear our prayer. As we wait for your coming, O Christ, the names by which we call you this Sunday of Advent, our wonderful counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so we do most humbly pray for counsel. Counsel that is full of wonder to many in our too often proud land. We pray first that you give counsel to our president and all who advise and speak for him, and to makers and enforcers of laws and those who are subject to them, judges and the dividers of lives and those who make cases before them. Lord, in your mercy. Come, wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace. Hear your people in the matters that matter. The people who are hungry of body and hungry of soul. The people who are at war within and without. The children who have too little and expect nothing. Come, mighty God, everlasting Father, to a world in which the people who have get, the people who don't have are angry, the people who don't know don't understand, and the people who don't understand don't wish to know. Come, mighty God, everlasting Father, to a world in which the comfortable make us uncomfortable. The uncomfortable make us uneasy, where the diseases are complicated, and where we hurt the ones we love. These are the matters that matter, O God. Come with your wonderful counsel and bring us your princely peace. Especially bring peace to those who are mourning this day, the death of loved ones, those who are wrestling with cancer, a daughter whose healing is agonizingly slow, for a school district reeling from a most untimely gift. Lord, in your mercy, as we wait for your coming, these are our Advent prayers, O God. Surprise us with good answers to our deep prayers, and bring quickly the full, unadorned, extravagant hope of the most ordinary of second comings. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us all to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. In gratitude to God, our morning offering will now be received.
This Advent season, with all the commercial glitter, the unceasing barrage of sales and bargains and unbridled consumption, help us to remember that the gifts of true value are those that you, O Lord, have given to us. The laughter of children, our own life's breath, the abundance of food on our table, or the roof over our heads, the clothes on our backs, for our help and our wealth of blessings, for this opportunity to worship with family and friends, for the freedom to pray these words without fear in any language, in any faith. And we thank you, Almighty God, for giving us the greatest of all gifts, your Son, Jesus, whose birth we now await with the wonderment of the shepherds, the joyous expectation of the wise men. We pray in your name and give thanks to you for these most precious of gifts. Amen.
Thank you.
announcements. First of all, a little bit of self-promotion. The title of the sermon this Sunday was, What's He Doing in the Story? The title of the sermon next Sunday is, What's She Doing in the Story? And it focuses on the genealogy of Jesus, first chapter of Matthew's, if you're curious. You can go home and read that. See if you can pronounce all the names. Second announcement is that there is a congregational meeting immediately following the prelude, I mean, the postlude. And so your congregation members are invited to stay. Now let us go out into the world in peace and have courage and hold fast to that which is good. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, comfort the mourners, house the homeless, feed the hungry, and go in God's holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.